The fall of my seventh grade year, so I had just turned 12, and I had this King James Bible. That was all the Bibles I had. Now I have 53 English translations and paraphrases, plus the ability to look at the Greek and Hebrew if I ever remember any of those words. And they're all on my phone or on my computer with just a tap. But I had this Bible. And it had the best thing ever invented, which is a concordance. Presented to me in third grade, and until when I was in my early teens and got my first modern translation, this was the Bible I used. Some of you know that time before we had translations, easier English. Some of you, like me, grew up with these and thous. Somebody taught me, probably several somebodies taught me, if I needed something, to just open up the Bible and the answer would be there. So I turned to my Bible because I was afraid. I was going to have a little, seriously, no big deal, outpatient in the days when you got admitted for everything, surgery. Local anesthesia, no big deal. But I was afraid. And I couldn't sleep the night before surgery, so I turned to my Bible concordance, and I looked for the word courage. And there it was, the last verse of Psalm 27. And it says there, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Somehow even tweens could understand King James English back then. Anyway, I memorized it, and it was my comfort when I was in that surgery room. I had amazing faith when I was a child. Those childhood years, though, were before I understood that not every problem could be solved by putting your finger on a verse in the Bible. Be courageous. Okay, God, I will. As a kid, before, being a little afraid was the worst thing I had ever known. And it's easy to praise God. It's easier to praise God when there's no big deal going on. And we're commanded to praise God, to see the holiness and the love and the grace of God and to respond with praise, with an attitude of gratitude. God is worthy of our praise everywhere, all the time. It says in Psalm 113, "From the rising of the sun to its setting," so all day long and from the east to the west. Now, several columns in my current concordance list references to praise, hundreds of references to living and giving praise. Our opening music before 10 o'clock wasn't supposed to be literal, but could you find 10,000 reasons to sing praises? We could, I think, in a matter of minutes if we did it helping each other. If we each came up with 100 and put our list together, we'd have 10,000 praises. I checked that with a calculator and sort of counted heads, since this is the best crowd we've had this January. We all have unique things that we praise God for, specific people and family members and friends and experiences and visual cues that as individuals bring us great joy. And besides God's providence and the gift of grace and the promises of heaven and our favorite people, there's all those other favorite things. A few of my favorite things: a tiny sliver of the moon we saw on a clear morning, fresh clean sheets. I probably could come up with 10,000 reasons to sing praises if I ever bothered to take the time. So here we are at Battle Creek First Presbyterian Church, and we are, as instructed, praising God. In his sanctuary, we offer sacrifices with shouts of joy and singing and praising God with music. David is cited as the author of Psalm 27, and it's filled with reasons to praise God's light and salvation and protection and reliability, the sanctity and security of this place, God's beauty, and the joy that God listens and God understands and God shows mercy and leads and strengthens, even in temptation, the Lord's goodness and the hope that we have. We praise God from whom all blessings flow. And the Psalms highlight a special spiritual gift we've been given, to sit in God's presence, to relax and know we are in God's care. We also have the God-given gift of emotion and feeling and reason, and our feelings are not incidental to reality. It's how we are created. Reason and emotion are interdependent. Our emotions are not illogical. We are not Mr. Spock, living solely by reason. Instead, we live by grace alone, through faith alone, not by reason, but with good reason. Grace and faith equals a heart willing and able to give praise. And we give praise and we experience joy because of what we know about God. We mourn and lament because of what we know about humanity. Walter Brueggemann is a prolific theological writer, especially on the Psalms, and he writes that this psalmist has past experience with God's care that prevents excessive anxiety in the present. And Eugene Peterson, another prolific writer and theologian, wrote the Message paraphrase, and he says, verse 13, this way, I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I'm here in the land of the living. So we live a life that brings praise to God, and we live a life of mindfulness. And when we know life's all covered, past, present, and future, praise and I also love Anne Lamott, a little different than Brueggemann and Peterson. And she is a modern author and says it this way, the first and truest thing is that all life is a paradox. Life is both a precious and unfathomably beautiful gift, and it's impossible here on the incarnational side of things. It's been a very bad match for those of us who are born extremely sensitive, she writes. It's so hard and weird that sometimes we wonder if we're being punked. It's filled simultaneously with heartbreaking sweetness and beauty, desperate poverty, floods and babies, and acne and Mozart, all swirled together. I don't think it's an ideal system, she writes. The psalm writer was all over the place, just like Anne Lamott. There's quite a turn in verses 4-9. I'm lifted up, I'm joyful, I'm desperate and in need and lost. But did you hear? Jeff read it. My heart has heard you say, come and talk to me. And my heart responds, Lord, I'm coming. Do not turn your back on me. Do not reject your servant in anger. You've always been my helper, God. And yet, Christ followers live in that unsteady place of we are already right with God, but life's not perfect. There's lots of words to differentiate that, similar to and, that come out in Psalm 27, like why, even if, But when and though the Lord will, and I will, and wait. The word wait, it's a whole lot like the word and. Something's going to change. Something different's going to happen. Like Michigan weather. Just wait and it will change. We give praise and experience joy because of what we know about God, and we mourn and lament because of what we know about humanity. We study the Psalms and we're given the tool of and. And yes, we praise God and the amazing gifts of creation and salvation and consolation. Triune God, hallelujah. But and yet, praise is balanced with lament. Yes, life is beautiful sometimes. I wrote my daughter's obituary. That's not a joy. But I wrote that her life was awesome and sweet and fun, except when it wasn't. Except, but, even because we praise God, but sometimes we need to lament the hard times. I didn't want to ask Jodine for another request besides 10,000 Reasons and Blessed Be the Name, but and. It's pivotal, like in Casting Crowns' song, "You've never left my side, and though my heart is torn, I will praise you in this storm." Yeah. Yeah, but, and excuse me, and because even though and still, it's right to praise, and yet it's not wrong to lament. So what about negative feelings? The psalm writer certainly felt comfortable writing them down. Some suggest that this psalm comes from David's diary. I suppose you'd say journal now. It's much more mature than diary. But was it meant to be scrutinized for 3,000 years if it was his journal? It is a good way to lament, to journal in prayer, to express your thoughtful statements of fact. And why not? God already knows our human struggles. Because lament, emotion is real. I told Jeff once, I only have one sermon, that life is hard and God is with us. This psalmist preached that too. Even if mother and father abandon me, God will hold me close. Verse 10. Even if we have to face change and face hard facts and face and deal with life and death, God will hold us close. So we praise God for giving us the ability to lament, to have strong feelings, even to strongly express negative feelings. Our theologian message writer friend Eugene Peterson pushed us to acknowledge when we want to lament, except lament's a nice church word. In other contexts, we complain. Expressing negative emotion is lament, is complaining. Peterson wrote, just as hurt is the usual human experience that brings us to our knees praying for help, provoking the realization that we need God. So hate is frequently the human experience that brings us to our feet, praying for justice, catalyzing our concern for the terrible violations against life all around us. Hate is often the first sign that we care. And he goes on to say, when prayed, these negative feelings, they're the first steps into the presence of God where we can learn that God has ways of dealing with what we bring, both other and better than what we have in mind. But until we are in prayer, we are not teachable. The laments we find in Psalm 27 are about scary things, real or assumed, danger and enemies and war and troubles and depression and rejection and spiritual dryness and sin and family issues and violence and fear and false information and feeling abandoned by God. For me, that's the scariest thought ever. But it's hard to trust sometimes, and it's hard not to lament. And Peterson says this psalm is a profound and beautiful text on trusting the Lord. So maybe we need to trust and show it with lament. I know some of you, and I say this with great love, don't push down or ignore your emotions. They're not to be denied. Discounting our pain blocks the presence of God from healing us. We are emotional and spiritual creatures created with emotion and blessed with the Holy Spirit's discernment. The best, maybe, the truest lament ever spoken was from the father of a troubled son who said to Jesus, "I believe, help my unbelief." So we praise and experience joy because of what we know about God, and we mourn and lament because of what we know about humanity. There's always bad news. What's the good news? For God so loved the world. Nothing is impossible with God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and he will direct your path. Good news. We can't run from God, and God refuses to abandon us, so do we need to lament? Yeah. Start with praise, then lament your heart out. Complain, admit to God just how hard it is, and then express confidence like the psalmist. I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. Prayers of praise and lament, they create energy and relationship, not vacuum and distrust. So open yourself up to some hope, to see goodness now in this life, in the land of the living on this side, here and now. We lament because we can and we will and we should, and yet the psalmist writes, "I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I'm here in the land of the living." And he wrote, "Oh Lord, how long before we hear your good news again? Hear me as I pray, oh Lord, be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I'm coming. Do not turn your back on me. Do not reject your servant in anger. You've always been my helper. Don't leave me now. Don't abandon me, O God of my salvation. Hold me close. Amen."